Hey guys, thank you so much for joining us for the NCC podcast. God is doing so many great things in our community, and I trust that He's doing great things in your life as well. And I trust that God is going to speak to you through this message.
Well, I don't know about you, but I loved quarantine. And it's not just because I'm a newlywed without any kids. However, that's a big part of it. No, I have loved quarantine because I discovered a new hobby that I love, and I probably wouldn't have discovered it had we not been quarantined. Me and my wife, we were cruising through Kroger one Saturday in April, just getting our groceries for the week, you know? And all of a sudden, I was hit with this uncontrollable craving for my mom's homemade chocolate chip cookies. Now, we're mid-April at this point, so I don't really feel comfortable calling my mom saying, hey, can you make and send me some chocolate chip cookies in the mail? Because, you know, my mom lives in Oklahoma. I'm in Louisiana. Like, what if they get COVID, you know, in transit? Like, I don't know, you know? and so I got all the ingredients together and I went home that Saturday and I made myself my own batch of my mom's homemade chocolate chip cookies. And I tell you what, we pigged out on them. They were so good. They're so good that we made them the next weekend. And the weekend after. And I got in this rhythm where, like, I kind of like baking on Saturdays. So what I did was I branched out a little bit. And the next weekend, the weekend after that, I made some white chocolate macadamia nut cookies. Whew. They were so good, I decided to branch out a little bit more. The next weekend, I made from scratch homemade blueberry muffins with the cinnamon crust on top. I tell you what, the next weekend, we did a cast iron skillet peach cobbler with the cinnamon and pecan crust with the vanilla ice cream on top. Word got out, like Betty Crocker's calling me for recipes, like crazy stuff, right? No. One thing I noticed, though, with this new venture in baking is there's a lot of ingredients that go into play here. So I found myself at the grocery store spending a little bit more time. And one day at the grocery store during quarantine, I saw this. Now, I don't know what your reaction is whenever you see this, but I overreacted. I was like, oh God, the economy's collapsed. Oranges are $74. Bread is probably $100. Almond milk's probably $200. And after looking around for just a few seconds, seeing some other regularly priced things, I realized that the economy hadn't collapsed, that bread was not $100, that everything was okay. This bin was simply just mislabeled with the wrong price. But, you know, the funny thing about it is, a lot of times we go through life and we mislabel ourselves. We allow other people to mislabel us with labels that contradict the labels that God puts on us. Let's look at this portion of scripture here. In John chapter 8 and in verse 2, it says this, Jesus appeared in the temple courts again, and soon all the people gathered around to listen to his words. So he sat down and he taught them. Then in the middle of his teaching, the religious scholars and the Pharisees broke through the crowd and brought a woman who had been caught in the act of committing adultery and made her stand in the middle of everyone. They said to Jesus, Teacher, we caught this woman in the very act of adultery. Doesn't Moses' law command us to stone to death a woman like this? Tell us, what do you say we should do with her? They were only testing Jesus because they had hoped to trap him with his own words and accuse him of breaking the law of Moses. Can you imagine this? Let's just put ourselves in the scene here for a moment. Imagine yourself there that day. We're in church. It's Sunday. Jesus is the keynote speaker. He is mid-message. And I'm sure he's saying some pretty good and important stuff. Then all of a sudden, some other pastors bust into the auditorium and throw in the middle of everyone this woman who's caught cheating on her spouse. Can you imagine how awkward it must have been in that room? Can you sense the tension in that room? Let's flip the script here. Can you imagine the guilt, the shame, the humiliation that this woman must have felt. See, here we have a people who claim to be God followers, putting someone's private failure on a public pedestal in order to promote their personal agenda. These religious leaders quote the Bible accurately, but they use it to bring accusation, condemnation, and shame. The danger here in this story is realizing that we can know what the Bible says. We can have a knowledge of what Scripture says, but removed from the heart of the Scripture, not possess the spirit of the Scripture. I want to ask yourself, what's more important to you? Is it more important that you are right when standing on a certain issue? Or is it more important to you that you walk with people who need help? Let's keep reading. But Jesus didn't answer them. Instead, he simply bent down and wrote in the dust with his finger. Angry, they kept insisting that he answer their question. So Jesus stood up and looked at them and he said, "Let's have the man who has never had a sinful desire throw the first stone at her." And then he bent over again and wrote some more words in the dust. Upon hearing that, her accuser slowly left the crowd one at a time, beginning with the oldest to the youngest with a convicted conscience. Until finally, Jesus was left alone with the woman still standing there in front of him. So he stood back up and said to her, "Dear woman, where are your accusers? Is there no one here to condemn you?" Looking around, she replied, "I see no one, Lord." Jesus said, "Then I certainly don't condemn you either. Go, and from now on, be free from a life of sin." As we go through life, we make mistakes, we fail, we sin. Sin simply means to miss the mark of God's standard of living. And human tendency is to take our actions and create labels out of them. For example, your spouse asks you to grab something from the store. They even text you 6 times throughout the day, graciously reminding you, and you forget it. Wouldn't have been a big deal, but it's now the 15th, 20th, 30th time you've forgotten something from the store. You begin to feel bad. You begin to, man, maybe I'm not that good of a spouse. So we begin to put on the label of a failure. Maybe we fall short of the expectations that we put on ourselves. We just can never quite amount to what we think we can do. And so we just say, man, I'm never enough. Maybe you never really performed well in school. And so you view yourself as uneducated, and thus you're disadvantaged. Maybe you were taken advantage of, and you were used and then tossed to the side. Because of that, you have no value on yourself, and thus you view yourself as insignificant. See, when we take on self-designated labels, we begin to live limited by those labels. We view ourselves as a failure. And so all we do is expect failure out of ourselves. And then when we do fail, we're like, that makes sense. Because, well, I'm a failure. We view ourselves as never enough. So we never see ourselves bringing anything to the table. We never see ourselves really doing anything special. We see ourselves as disadvantaged. So we never see or envision ourselves rising above the status quo. We see ourselves as insignificant, so we don't see ourselves bringing anything of value to anyone, anywhere. Much like our woman in our story, we have the tendency to take on the labels that others put on us or the labels that we put on ourselves. And when we do that, we live limited by the label. But if we can learn the labels that Jesus puts on us, if we can learn to take on his labels, then we can really grow into the person who God has created us to be. So today, I want to talk to you real quick about four labels that Jesus puts on you. The first label that I want to talk to you about is the label of grace. In Romans chapter 5, in verse 20, it says this, "Sin grew and grew, but wherever sin grew and spread, God's grace was there in fuller, greater measure. No matter how much sin crept in, there was always more grace." Come on, you just need to say, there was always more grace. See, we have this false perception of what religion is. Sometimes we think that it's us being good enough to earn our good standing before God. It's us behaving enough in order to get favor from God. Can I tell you, friends, that that's not the gospel at all? The gospel is in when we were entrenched in sin that God reached down and saved us. You see, I don't know where you are, but God's grace is enough for you, and God's grace hasn't abandoned you. You can't out-sin the grace of God on your life. It says right here in the scripture, where sin grew and grew, God's grace was there in fuller and greater measure. This woman in our story who was caught cheating on her husband, she didn't need to know how much of a sinner she was. She didn't need God to draw attention to her sin. No, she needed God to draw attention to the grace that he had for her. It may be a fact that you have failed, but can I tell you, God's forgiveness is not deterred by your failure. You see, no matter how many times you mess up, God's grace will be there for you. Your failure cannot bankrupt God's forgiveness. So because of that, we can take off the label of failure and we can take on the label of God's grace. The second label that I want to talk to you about today is the label of righteousness. Righteous is defined as this: characterized by uprightness, morally right or justifiable, free from guilt or sin. And you'd be saying, Jared, that's not me. Like, I look at my life, I look at my actions, and I don't know if I can take on the label of righteousness. I don't know if I'm there yet. Scripture says this in Romans chapter 5 and verse 17. Those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. See, righteousness can't be achieved. It can only be received. Being declared right by God isn't something we earn. It isn't something we behave ourselves into. It isn't something we are good enough for. It is a gift from God. You may be saying, now, Jared, I look at that definition, and that is totally me. Like, I don't lie, I don't cheat, I don't steal, I go to church every Sunday. I would say I'm righteous. Scripture also says this in Romans chapter 3 and verse 20, "For by the merit of observing the law," that's the rules, the regulations of religion, "no one earns the status of being declared righteous before God. For we all have sinned." See, it doesn't matter the size of your sin. You can have some neighborhood kids who are playing baseball and accidentally break your window with a baseball. Or you can have a neighborhood kid who maliciously and intentionally breaks one of your windows by throwing a chair through it. It doesn't really matter. Either way, you have a broken window. The same thing, it doesn't matter the size or the intentionality of our sin. The fact is, we have all in some way shattered the standard of God's living for our life. But I have good news. The scripture keeps saying, "Yet through his powerful declaration of acquittal, God freely gives away his righteousness. His gift of love and favor now cascades over all of us, all because of Jesus." See, righteousness is not something that you can work for. Righteousness is something that Jesus worked for. It's not something that we can earn. It's only something that we can receive. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse Verse 21 says this, "For God made Jesus, the only one who did not know sin, to become sin for us, so that we who did not know righteousness might become the righteousness of God through our union with him." You see, Jesus didn't just take our sin. Jesus became our sin. Why? So that we couldn't just take his righteousness, but so we could become his righteousness. It's not something we worked for. It's not something we strived for. It's not something we tried to obey ourselves into. No, it's an identity that Jesus worked for and has freely given us. So we can take off the label of never being enough, and we can take off the, we can put on the label that Jesus is enough for us, and he is our righteousness. The third label that I want to talk to you about today is the label of an overcomer. And maybe you're trapped in failure. Maybe you feel like you've created this habit of sin, and it's now just something that's the norm for you, and you don't really know how to get out of it. You don't know how to break free of this cycle. 1 John 5:5 says this, "The person who wins out over the world's ways is simply the one who believes Jesus is the Son of God." The world's way is simply referring to the fragmented state of humanity without God. And when we choose to believe in Jesus, we put our trust in Jesus, we conform our lives, we begin to around Jesus, we begin to walk in step with Jesus, we begin to love like he loves, see people how he sees people. We begin to change the way we think and conform our thoughts to how Jesus thinks. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 says this, "Embracing what God does for you is the best thing that you can do for him." Now, just take a second here. Think on this. Embracing what God has done for us. It's not what we can do and we can achieve and we can aspire to do for God. No, the best thing that we can do for God is simply embracing what God has already done for us. Don't, he goes on to say, don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God and you'll be changed from the inside out. Where you're focused is where you'll follow. See, God doesn't want your attention on your failure. God doesn't want your attention on your striving, you're trying to do better. No, God wants your attention on him. When we look at Jesus and how he loves people, something begins to change on the inside of us, and we become more loving towards people. When we look at Jesus and we see how patient he is with people, something begins to happen on the inside of us, and we, as we're interacting with our coworkers and with our family members, we find ourselves becoming more patient with people. When we keep our attention on how Jesus forgives people, those people that were once hard to forgive, we find it easier to walk in forgiveness with. And so when we begin to put our attention on Jesus, we begin to imitate his love, his patience, his kindness, his goodness towards people. And we begin to break out of that cycle that once trapped us. So we can take off the label of disadvantage, and we can take on the label of overcomer. The fourth label that I want to talk to you about today is the label that you are worth it. You are worth it. I don't know who's taken advantage of you in life. I don't know who's used you, who's hurt you, but I want you to know this. God values you so, so much. How much? Go with me back to Walmart here for a second. Just humor me here. Imagine me and you are in Walmart, right? And we're socially distanced, of course, masks on, and we're looking at this bin. We're like, $74. Who would pay $74 for an orange? And we're like laughing, right? And this customer walks up, looks at the price, looks at the oranges, picks out an orange, and goes to checkout. I don't know about you, but I'm thinking one of two things. One, this dude is reckless with his resources. This guy is crazy. And number two, this guy really, 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 really wants an orange. See, it's the price paid that determines the value. 1 Peter 1:18 says this, "You know the price. You know that a price was paid to redeem you. It was not paid with the things that perish like silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus, with the sacrifice of Jesus." God values you so, so much. God values you so, so much that He took on our debt of sin and our debt of failure, and He paid for it through the sacrifice of Jesus. You see, the price paid determines the value, and that's what God paid for us. You have such value towards God. You see, religion's not founded on what we can do for God. Religion is founded on what God has done for us. Back in our story, we had this woman who's caught cheating on her husband. She's left there in the church that day, and all of the pastors had abandoned her. I don't know where you're at in life. Maybe you feel abandoned. Maybe you feel like everyone who represents religion in your life has turned a cold shoulder to you because you weren't good enough, because you couldn't live up to their standard of living. But can I tell you, there's someone still with you, just like there was someone still with that woman in the dirt that day. Jesus, your rescuer, is still with you. Jesus, your savior, is still with you. I don't care what you've gone through. I don't care what's happened to you. I don't care the failure that you've committed. Jesus is with you. And Jesus still values you. So you can take off the label of insignificance and take on the label of His worth for you. And when we take on these labels, it eradicates shame in our life. Jesus closed His conversation with this woman and He said, "I certainly don't condemn you either. Go, and from now on be free from a life of sin." Jesus, the only person who was sinless that day, the only person who had a right to point a finger that day, said, "Hey, listen, I'm with you. I'm for you. Yeah, you may have messed up. Yeah, this may have not been the first time. Probably isn't going to be the last time either. But I'm with you. I don't condemn you. Now go and sin no more." Jesus said in John chapter 3, He said, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through Him." You might be saying, "Jared, I've heard that verse before, and I believe that verse, and I've been a Jesus follower for a long time, but I feel so bad because I messed up. I feel so guilty. I feel so ashamed." Can I tell you, Romans 8:1 also says this, "So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Jesus." You see, freedom for this woman wasn't going to come from her living under a label of failure, trying to do better, trying to break free from this cycle of sin. No, 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 no. Freedom for this woman was going to come from her receiving the new label that Jesus was giving her. The label of grace that said, "Hey, you may have failed, but I still love you." The label of righteousness that said, "Hey, listen, I am enough for you." The label of overcomer that said, "Hey, you are going to rise above this." The label of worth that said, "Hey, listen, no matter what happens, I am with you every step of the way because you are worth it." You see, only when she took on the labels that Jesus gave her was she really able to truly live in the freedom that Jesus was leading her into. And when we take on self-designated labels, we begin to live limited by the label. But when we take on God's label for us, we can begin to live liberated by the label. And when we take on the label of grace, we take on the label of righteousness, we take on the label of overcomer, and we take on the label of worth, then we can truly grow into the person who God has created us to be. And if this is news to you, you say, "I grew up thinking religion was just about being a good person, about following this set of rules in order to belong. I didn't know it was about this God who loved me, this forgiveness that He wants to give me freely because of the sacrifice of Jesus." Can I tell you that God wants to forgive you today? No matter what your life has looked like, no matter what you've done, God wants to forgive you today. Maybe you've been walking with Jesus for a long time, but you've been caught in this cycle of sin, and you say, Jared, I realize now I've been living under a wrong label. I need to take on the label that God has for me. Will you pray this with me today? Just repeat this simple prayer after me. God, I ask you for your forgiveness in my life. I believe in the sacrifice of Jesus. And today, I'm taking on your label of grace. I'm taking on your label of righteousness. I'm taking on your label as an overcomer. And I'm taking on your label that I was worth it. And God, I ask you to lead me and to guide me, to help me grow into the person who you have created me to be. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. To hear more messages like this one, make sure to subscribe and share our podcast. For more content from NCC and how to get connected, visit ncc.team.